there's a confidence and a boost in your confidence that happens with your hair. Like when you get ready for the day and you know, like, yeah, I'm looking good today, nothing can touch you.
Hey guys, it's Esther Fiesta and welcome to Poised and Polished, the podcast dedicated completely to style for fly people like you. So this week I have part two of my interview with Des Marshall, aka Des is Dope, Brooklyn's LGBTQ friendly barber. If you haven't already listened to part one, now would be a great time to go ahead and download that episode so that you can catch up. It's not necessary for you to listen to that part first, so if you want to just continue and then listen to that next, that's totally fine. On part one, Des schooled me on what it's like to be a queer person of color at the barbershop. Spoiler alert, it can get pretty uncomfortable. And in part two, Des and I are focusing on her skills as a barber and various grooming techniques. If you are live tweeting the show, please tag at Poised Podcast and use hashtag Poised and Polished so that myself and any other listeners can find you. Oh, and just before we get started, a quick note. I forgot to mention on the last episode that our friend Melissa, the one who set this all up, was present during the recording and she was taking a lot of photos. So those random click sounds you heard last episode, and you'll hear them a little less frequently this time, that's Melissa making our memories. You'll also hear her chime in a time or two during this discussion. All right, now let's get started with the show.
As you know, the client, you want to be as clear as possible with the person doing your hair. Mm-hmm. As the person doing your hair, I want to be as honest as possible as to whether or not can I do what you're asking me for.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people sit in my chair and they will add design. Getting designs in your hair is like the new dope thing with barbers.
Mm-hmm.
I am okay with my design work. Mm-hmm. There are some things I'm very confident in. There's other designs and I'm like, nope, can't do that. So when people come to me with something too complicated, I'm like, I can't do that. Here's what I can do.
Yeah.
And we talk about it. I don't ever want to misrepresent my abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it's not a dig on me. If I can't give you what you want, that's cool. Hopefully you'll be able to find someone who can. But I want to be able to give you that info so you can make that judgment for yourself. I don't want to be like, yeah, I can do that, and then I fuck your hair up. Like,
yeah, and that's a problem I feel like I've always had. Like, I'll go to a salon, like, knowing what I want, and I guess it depends on the nature of the salon. Or I don't know who makes these decisions, but, like, be honest about what your capabilities are. Can you do this cut or not? Can you do the style or not? Can you refer me to somebody who can do it?
Yep.
Can you tell, or can you be honest about, like, look, I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing to try it.
Yep.
Will you be honest with me about how you think it'll look? Because also, like, I think sometimes stylists don't realize that, is that as a client, we are not always, I mean, we're the expert in our hair. We're the ones who live with it. But, like, you're not always the expert in how things work. You're just like, oh, I saw Beyonce or insert celebrity here with this, so I want this. And you're not thinking about how it frames your face and whatnot. So I always appreciate any type of stylist who's going to tell me that. Like, look, I'll do this if you really want me to do it, but let me warn you.
Yep.
Like, you don't have the same face shape as the person you're copying, so it's not going to look the same. This is what it's going to do for you. This is what I would suggest you do, but ultimately it's up to you, you know?
Yeah. I always ask potential clients when they hit me up the first time to send me a picture of what cut they want, and to send me a picture of what their hair looks like currently. Because it also helps me figure out how much time I need to set aside for this cut, because I work by appointment only, so I need to make sure I work a tight ship and as well-oiled machine. But also, like, when they send me a picture of them versus the cut they want, a lot of times I'm like, I can do that, but your hair texture is different. This person's face is longer, so it looks this way. Your face is more round, so it's not going to have the same impact when I cut it, because all those things play a factor, how it's going to frame your face. Hair texture is a big thing.
Yeah.
You sending me a picture, if you have curly hair and you're sending me a picture of someone with straight hair, like, you're going to have to straighten your hair if you want that look. That's not in my repertoire. I will cut it to the length you want. I'll shave down the sides the way you want, fade it up, give you a sharp lineup. But I can't change your curly hair to straight hair.
Yeah.
That's something you have to do. So,
so you talk about dope haircuts, and you mentioned earlier, like, how you don't, certain things you can't do, you know where your level of expertise lies. So where does your level of expertise lie? Like, what's Des's specialty? What do I come to you for?
You come to me for undercuts.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a big thing that I do for a lot of clients.
Undercut is?
It's usually keep a lot of hair up top. Okay. And roughly around half, like maybe like near your eyes or right above, is all shaved down and you just have hair up top.
Okay.
If you've seen like the man bun.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of that is, it's an undercut. There's like no hair on the bottom or very little hair on the bottom and a lot of hair up top. But I mean, every haircut is basically a play on a fade. So fading from
fade, okay,
really low, like from the nape of your neck up to about the ear, and then fading it in so that it gets darker and darker, more hair to the top. I mean, as a barber, that's generally what we do anyway. It's a lot of fades.
Is that that's specific to black barbers, or is that barbers like all barbers?
I mean, I kind of all barbers, mm-hmm, in some ways. I mean, hair texture definitely plays a part in it. I mean, you go to a black barbershop, generally, homies that go in there, they're getting a Caesar, which is one length, same length all over,
mm-hmm, fade. What's the, etymology of that? Why is it called the Caesar?
I think it actually dates back to like Caesar. Julius.
Okay, I was gonna
ask. Like the way his hair was, uh-huh, it was all one length and brushed forward, and he had like a straight line across the forehead.
Right, I'm gonna have to Google a picture of Caesar, yeah, and I'll put that in the show notes.
I mean,
too.
Think of George Clooney from like his ER days.
His ER day, I barely remember.
That was a Caesar.
Okay.
With folks with straight hair generally kind of keep it a little bit longer. Folks with, coarse hair, kinkier hair, folks of color generally keep it very, very low. So you look at like Nas, he has, yeah, a Caesar. Jay-Z has a Caesar. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Kanye has a Caesar. Sometimes he has a shag. Mm-hmm.
And so a shag is a...
You remember how Kanye looked on 808 and Heartbreaks?
Yeah.
That's okay. Shag. That's like, I don't know anybody that really rocks that anymore. No, but,
so is that like, that's dated? No one's ordering
That's
a
little
shag
dated. Like some folks might, I mean, you know, everything from the 80s and 90s is coming back now. I mean, I have a high top, yeah, fade. This is a very 90s haircut. But I am in my 30s and I was around when it first came around. So, yeah, I mean, I do a lot of fades. Uh-huh. You come to me for fades. You come to me for, mohawks are still in style, or faux hawks where you want it to kind of look like a mohawk. But like if you put some product in, you got a mohawk, but you brush it any other way, it's just regular, uh-huh, hair. That's a faux hawk. It looks like a mohawk, but it's not. I do some design work, a lot of like zigzags, lightning bolts. Try to learn some new stuff every once in a while, but design, while I'll do it, is not my favorite thing to do, because it does, there's a preciseness to it. It takes up more time, and it also costs a lot more money, because to excuse the amount of time it takes to do, I gotta charge more for it, and I really don't like charging a lot of money for cuts. I feel like cuts should be affordable, and that's another like kind of hallmark of the work that I do, mm-hmm, is I want my cuts to be affordable, and so I'm not trying to charge $100 for a cut, $80 for a cut.
But like that's what a design would cost you, $180.
I mean, a good with some of the designs that people ask for, like very intricate,
stars and all that.
Yeah, stars, quasars, mm-hmm, tribal signs, like all that stuff. That's going to double your cut, uh-huh, at the very least, if not more, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, and what's the upkeep on something like that?
That's why I tell people not to really get designs. Designs are, I mean, they're fun, they're dope, but if your hair grows back really quick, that design is only really going to look good for probably about 3, maybe 4 days, and then it's going to start growing in.
Mm-hmm. So you
and
get
it
that
doesn't look as good. Growing.
Yeah, you get that for like your wedding, it's, yeah, prom, like you want it for the special
occasions.
Exactly,
special occasions. I had one client, a friend of mine, who she's a fitness trainer. Mm-hmm. And so would get pictures done a lot,
okay,
or would do videos. And so I would do a design for her all the time because I knew she was going to put it on something.
Yeah, it's going to live for a while.
Or
yeah,
picture or whatever. But the average person, they coming in talking about, let me get, I don't know, Mickey Mouse on the side of my head.
Just for you to go work at Burger
King.
Because
it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm going to be like, you might not want to do that. And I will talk people out of it depending, mm-hmm, on what they're looking for, or to downgrade what they want. Like maybe you don't want like this intricate design. You just want like a quick little zigzag or a part. because you want something dynamic that makes the haircut pop a little bit more and stand out. But generally, like, intricate designs, because, I mean, hair grows back, some of these designs can be as intricate as, like, a tattoo, which lasts forever.
Yeah.
Your hair does not. And so I will give that to folks, and if they still want it and it's something I can do, then I still do it. But I do let folks know, like, your hair is going to grow back. This is going to look good for 2-3 days tops, maybe 4. And so you might want to not get as much design.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever feel like, as a barber, because I know a lot hairstylists, they have to do a lot more, or I don't want to say a lot more, but I know that they have to, like, re-go through training because techniques change. Like, it's not necessarily every year that you're like, wow, I have to redo this. But, like, if you got your, you know, hairstyling / barber's license in the year 2000, it's been 17 years. We done cut and color so many different ways that you should have trained in some way, shape, or form to keep up with the trend. So is that a thing that exists when you're a barber?
I mean, I can only speak for myself. I haven't taken any additional classes. But the great thing about technology is that you don't have to. There's so many dope barbers on YouTube and on Instagram, which has really been great for the industry. When you came to my house earlier, we saw the commercial. It was like an iPhone commercial. Yeah. And they're showing how dope the camera is by taking pictures of haircuts at a barbershop. And so that's really changed the game. It's helped me get my name out there. But more importantly, it connects me with other barbers from around the country and sometimes from around the world, who, I mean, there's a million ways to skin a cat. There are 1,000 different ways to do a fade. And so it's really about, like, people have different techniques. You watch their video, you can pick up what they're putting down. You take ideas from them. What are techniques they're using that you want to implement into your work? So it's not like I'm necessarily taking classes, but I am doing the research.
You're still watching education.
Yeah, I'm watching other barbers. Like I said, I want to get better at doing designs. So I watch other barbers that do design work, and they post their videos on YouTube so I can see their techniques on how they're getting their lines so sharp. I talk with other barbers about what tools are they using, because for barbers it's about your tool. Is someone else coming out with a better trimmer?
Okay, because I know with hairstylists it's a lot about the scissors and their flat iron.
Yep.
What else is it with barbers? Is it trimmers? What other products do you guys
have? I mean, for me it's always what machine am I using, and also, like, the upkeep of your machine. I have a couple of, I don't do a lot of shaves, like, on the face for my clients, but a few I do. I'm a fan of the bevel razor for men of color. And so I always put that product out for a lot of my clients if they're looking to kind of keep up their beards or whatever facial hair they have at home. I let them know about Bevel, that it's a really good...
Do you sell Bevel?
I don't sell anything. But I've used it, and I like the way it cuts. And I mean, specifically for men of color, when you're doing... Really for anybody, but specifically men of color, the skin is very sensitive to sharp razors. And so you want to reduce razor bumps. If somebody wants, you know, they want that sharp beard lineup, or they just want a clean shaved face. Nobody wants a lot of bumps on their face afterwards.
Yeah.
And so you gotta find the right tools. And so I shout them out. Hair products. A lot of my clients that have, like, straighter hair will ask me about hair products. I have very different hair texture than them. So a lot of times when I first started, I'm like, I don't know what the hell y'all gonna use. I'm like, I use oil in my hair. That's not gonna work for you. But now I just talk to my clients and I ask them what they're using. And so I'll buy, like, whatever pomade they suggest and use that on my clients for a little bit and see how that feels. And if it works, then I'll tell whatever client, use this pomade, because one of my clients swears by it.
So do you have any favorite products that you're using on clients that you like the way they look when you use the pomade or the, what is it, gel, whatever else you're using?
Yeah, so right now I've been using Suave's pomade because it's affordable.
Really? Suave?
Suave is pretty affordable. Another client of mine put me on to, I think they said it was like a hair, I think it's technically called a hair paste. Might be a hair wax, because I know that's another thing, but it was a...
Paste is different. It's a little lighter.
Yeah, it was a Old Spice brand.
Oh, okay.
I don't like scents for my hair, like for hair products, unless like, really? I don't like the added fragrance.
I love scents.
I don't like the added fragrances.
Like, do you mean like when it's like strawberry or just
yeah,
like...
when they add stuff to it, I'm like, I don't like that.
I like
for
it
me
to smell
personally.
Like, I like it to smell like something, just a little. Like, I use a lot of Living Hair, was it Living Proof products?
Okay.
They have the black line, the one that like Jennifer Aniston's in the commercials for. But their hair serum, like, I love the way it makes my hair smell.
Yeah.
And sometimes people catch a whiff, they're like, oh, what is that? Girl, that's just how my hair smells.
See, and I use a lot of natural oils. So I use like jojoba oil,
okay.
Tea tree, even though it makes me smell like a medicine cabinet. I love that scent. And the stuff that my client was using, you know, it was Old Spice. Old Spice has a very...
old smell.
Yes. Very obvious, like a very like, yeah, that's Old Spice.
Yeah.
But this was a lot more subtle than some of their like colognes or deodorants. So once I'm done with the suave, I want to purchase that and start using that. Because I do like that it's not as sticky as a pomade.
Mm-hmm.
It's lighter. Yeah, and I mean, for my barber equipment, I used to swear by Andy's products.
That sounds familiar. I'm not picturing it, but I feel like I know.
A lot of barbers, if you see like a silver clipper, more than likely it's an Andy's Master.
Uh-huh.
I used to swear by it, but now I'm getting more into Oster's brands because I feel like the cut is just a little bit smoother.
I know Oster.
I just bought a new trimmer that's an Oster trimmer. I have a clipper that I've been using a lot more for fading and... it's just, you know, sometimes you can get bored using the same thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think every barber I know for myself, there's like my go-to clipper, which is my Andy's Master.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you get bored with it, so you use something else. So I've been getting into Oster brand a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend Wall to the Wall product to a lot of my clients if they're...
Wall, like W-A-L-L?
W-A-H-L.
H-L.
Because they sell... pretty cheap clippers if you're looking to kind of upkeep your haircut on your own. You can get a good pair of clippers that, you know, it won't have the good wear and tear that you would need if you were a professional barber and you're cutting 20 heads a day. But if you're just cutting yourself, Wall is a really good product. So a lot of my clients they'll point to my clippers and be like, I really like when you use that. And they'll point to them and be like, where can I get that at? And so I'll let them know.
Okay. So you do help your clients with in-between maintenance?
Yeah, and I give them little tutorials sometimes. There's some who had never shaved before, and so I was showing them
how
I shave.
Are these like young people or just like people who just never shaved?
Just people who never shaved, never mm-hmm. thought to like keep their beard. And so they, you know, if they have like a little chin strap or the full-on beard and they want to clean it up, can they do that at home? What are ways that they can do that? So they want to save some money and they don't want to see me every week. I'm like, yeah. Let me show you how to do that. This is how I do it on you. It's going to be a little bit different, you doing it on you. I recommend mostly clippers because that's what I know. Products, I know what I like for myself. So like I said, I use oils a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I use the olive oil sheen spray.
Okay. I feel like everybody uses that.
Anybody
who touched black hair
uses the
olive oil sheen
yes.
spray.
Because it's great. It makes everything shiny and it conditions and it's not heavy and you know, it doesn't run down on the face. It's I use it for all short haircuts, baldies, to condition the scalp afterwards. I'm starting to get into like beard oils and because my clients.
So wait, can you explain what is beard oil? Oh, I guess because a beard is still hair, so it needs nourishment.
Yeah.
So I've been hearing about beard oils in recent mm-hmm. years, and I was just like, what the hell is that? Why is that a thing? Why are we oiling our beard?
Honestly,
honestly,
I usually tell people you don't have to buy something that says beard oil. Like your facial hair is at times a different texture than the head on your hair. Just like the hair all over your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's all different textures sometimes. But really, it's about conditioning your beard the same way you want to wash and condition your beard the same way you wash and condition the hair on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Facial hair in particular gets really brittle.
Yeah,
so you want to keep it soft.
That.
You want to keep it conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And oil is a great way to do that. Natural oils are also just really good for your skin. So you're not putting any abrasive product that might be good for the hair on your face, but isn't good for the skin on your face.
Yeah.
I always encourage to just use oils. Coconut oil, everybody swears by coconut oil.
You know what? I don't like
coconut oil.
Me too. Oh my God! Hate coconut oil. I don't want to say I hate coconut oil, but I do not like it. It doesn't work for me.
It's too heavy. I like jojoba oil because it's lighter.
I'm an olive oil queen.
I don't mind if it runs on my face because it conditions, get a little glow sometimes on my forehead. Olive oil, avocado oil,
cake when I use it.
You smell like cake when you use
I
what?
I just be hungry. It smells like somebody's greasing a cake pan.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. But usually, you know, my clients will ask me about, you know, what should they use on their hair. Sometimes I have clients that have, they suffer from dry scalp. I suffer from dry scalp, which is why I use jojoba and tea tree. And that was after years of trying a lot of different things. And I found that works for me. And so I let them know, this works for me. It might not work for you, but
it's worth a try.
Here's where you can start. This is your starting point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when it comes to grooming, any hair that you're going to keep, you want to keep clean and conditioned. You don't want to over clean it because then you're stripping of natural oils that it needs. You don't want to over condition because it does the same thing. And also you can clog your pores and then you might get pimples on your face if it's your facial hair. You might get pimples or other types of abrasions on your head. It's really a trial and error because everybody is different. Yeah. What works for you might not work for another person who may have very similar hair texture to you.
So speaking of texture, do you find that there's any products or methods that work on people regardless of their hair texture?
I have yet to have somebody who I've recommended tea tree oil to tell me it didn't work.
Okay.
So tea tree oil, I think, saves scalps.
So it's a great equalizer. It's an equalizer. Amongst all the hair textures.
I use it, like I said, I suffer from dry scalp and really like itchy dry scalp. And so tea tree oil really helps with that. It's like a antioxidant and all the buzzwords that like a lot of shampoo companies will use. Yeah. Like it actually does all that stuff. It cleanses, it moisturizes, it's wonderful. You might smell like an old man in the medicine cabinet, but I like that smell, so I don't mind it.
you really like that, like older.
I do.
The medicinal.
That's how it works.
Yes,
right?
I know.
If I smell it, it works. If it burns, it probably works. If it tingles, and tea tree oil tingles and smells really nice, so I like it. And anybody that I've recommended it to, they've all said it's helped with their scalp issues.
Scalp issues meaning dry scalp?
Irritated, like red scalp. That's usually when I recommend it, are for those things. A lot of times, regardless of what someone is looking for, I tell them to try and find natural products.
Mm-hmm.
So you want stuff that's free of sulfates, free of a lot of alcohols. They put a lot of alcohol in shampoos, and that's what clarifies, like when they say clarify
yes.
shampoo.
I hate
all it does
shampoo.
it strips your hair of everything, which at times is what you need. If you put a lot of product in your hair, you're going to want to clarify it.
I feel like I only need clarifying shampoo like 4 times a year.
Yeah, you don't want to use that all the time.
Yeah,
that is not your everyday shampoo. Mm-hmm. Really, you shouldn't wash your hair every day, but I leave that up to other folks to determine for themselves.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it shouldn't be every time.
Yeah, I wash my hair probably once a month. I was just telling a client on Saturday, a new client came to me. We did a big chop. They had a lot of hair. I posted it on my Instagram page.
What's the Instagram page so we can look
Dez
that up?
Dez Got Skills. DezGotSkills. Yes, I can spell. Hofstra Education. So they were asking me about, you know, how often should they come get a cut? What will maintenance look like? And when people do a big chop, I'm like, let that bitch grow out until you're almost uncomfortable. Yep, that's the cut.
Okay.
Right. So I'm like, let it grow out till it almost feels uncomfortable so that you can see.
So you guys are looking at this, trying to look at this client at home. It was posted on, what is today?
It was posted on
May 20th.
Yeah.
Because I don't know when you guys are listening.
Where?
So it was posted on May 20th. So I don't know if that's 52 weeks back for you or when you're listening to this, but that's when
you're
it's posted.
You're in the future.
I am in the future.
We're talking from the future.
Wow. Yeah.
So what do you want? Like, what is your long-term goal? Like, if you could just build your career, like, Beyonce wanted to be who she is, like, that who she is now is what her vision board was when she started. So, like, what's your vision board as
she's Hive, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I'm Hive.
I mean, I would love to be Beyonce. no, I mean, my ultimate goal, if, like, you know, there were no limitations, no obstacles, is I would love to have my own shop that employed other queer, trans, and GNC folks. And I would love to be, like, the one-stop shop for all things beauty and grooming. Like, I would want you to come to my shop. I talk about it with my girlfriend all the time. She actually has a dope idea as well. But to be the shop that you can come to for a haircut, to be, whether it's a barber or a hairstylist, you need braids, you need locks, you trying to get your face beat up for whatever event you gotta go to, get facials, get massages, like, your one-stop wellness shop that is really for everybody, but also caters to, you know, the experiences of queer, trans, and GNC folks. So everything from, like, what are beauty products that you should use if you're also taking hormones? Mm-hmm. Like, in what ways does that interact?
I never thought about that.
Like, that would be the one-stop shop, and that it's for us, by us. And definitely, like, other folks are welcomed, but it's kind of like when folks complain about, like, why is there a Black History Month? And we're like, because every other day is white history. As a person who's not straight, sometimes that's how it feels. Like, everything is for straight folks. And so to have a place that is like, nah, we're for you, we're for us, for this community, to have that be the first point, and then it's like, everybody else is welcome, but, like, the main point is, like, this is a place for us. Mm-hmm. That would be, that's my ultimate goal.
Okay.
That is the Dez's dope dream.
Right. So would you want it to expand? I don't know about global. That's global. I don't know if that'll happen in your lifetime. But, like, you know, would you want it to, like, maybe you have a Philly branch, a Boston branch?
That would be really dope. A couple of different branches would be really dope. I don't know if, like, New York is going to be the place that this all happens. It's definitely the spot in terms of, like, population.
Yeah.
But we all know how expensive New York is. And if it keeps continuing in this trend of gentrification, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to afford to be here. So it's not a dream. I would love for it to be in New York, because I really like being in New York, but I'm also...
Are you from here?
No, I'm from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So, if we were talking about, like, chains, I would love to have something in Brooklyn, because I really call Brooklyn home. Something in Springfield, something in Connecticut, something in Philly, something on the West Coast. But, like, really identifying not only, like, pockets where we know there's a lot of queer folks, but also, like, obscure places where...
Yeah, because that actually might be where they need it more.
Yeah. That's where the communities... almost are stronger because everybody comes to those
we're
spots.
We're everywhere, right? We're,
like,
everywhere.
Because, like you said, Atlanta, or what's the place in California? Is it San Francisco? It's, like, the most queer place in America.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they have safe space, like, just because there's so enough of you to create a safe space. But, like, Spokane, Washington.
Exactly.
Y'all
right? And, like, I'm going to be going to Orlando in July. I have a client who's originally from Orlando. And he was like, I'm gonna tell you about the two spots out there.
You know what? Same thing with Fort Lauderdale or whatever. You had two options for nightlife.
Yeah.
But they would always be packed because they were the two places everybody knew they could go to.
Yeah.
And you wind up at times, I'll say, there's a stronger community there than when you come to New York City.
Yeah, because New York is so spaced out. So, I mean, the population is there, but, you know, folks might go someplace else because they know that there's... It might not be, like, specifically queer, but it's queer friendly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of queer friendly spots in New York, but not necessarily, like, queer spots.
Yeah.
But you go to a small town like Springfield that doesn't have, I mean, we have, like, nightclubs, And that's really it for the queer community.
But like, yeah, what do queer people do when they're not clubbing? like everything that anybody else does. Exactly. So
we're,
it's like, you should have
TV. We're in the movie theaters. We're,
yeah. So you should have spaces.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's my dream. That's my goal.
And spaces other than nightclubs sometimes. Because even the kids will be at the nightclubs because it's literally the only thing for them. So they'll be there from the time they're 16 to whatever. And so if there's a barbershop or someplace they can come in and see, you know, mentors almost. Older people in their shoes.
I was going to say, because I know that's a thing. Like in high school, a lot of like gay people would go out to, you know, the... I guess it never registered to me that, like, you definitely are hanging out with 33-year-old people just because they're also gay.
Yeah.
But, like, you do, like, I think a barbershop is a much more appropriate place for a 16-year-old queer person to hang.
And, I mean, if I had it my way, my shop would be kind of...
lit.
It would be lit, yes. But also, you know, because I come from an organizing background, like, I would want my shop to be a community space. Like, if you need a space to run an event... I want to be able to provide that because I'm thinking like this shit's gonna be big. Mm-hmm. Like it's not gonna be like a little small barbershop with four chairs. Like I'm thinking it's an enterprise. I want to
be
huge.
There.
You know what I mean? Like I want to be important and big and be able to provide all the many things that the community needs. So whether it's you need a spot to get your makeup done, you need a spot to get your hair done, nails done. Everything did.
Yeah.
But also, you know, let's have some open mic nights. Let's have MC battles. Let's have community organizations gathering for a training or a meeting. The same way that, like, in the Black community, the church is used.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say.
But the church is not necessarily, it's also not a welcoming space for everybody. Mm-hmm. I would want my place of business to be that. Like,
the community centers are.
Yeah, I want it to be kind of... I want it to be everything, almost. Like, I want to be able to provide all the things that are important to me to other folks. I've been blessed that I've worked at really dope community organizations and was able to build... I built my queer community through the organization I worked for. Otherwise, I would feel very lonely in New York. I came up as a queer adult. Like, I came out the closet very... kind of late in life, not very late in life, but I came out later than a lot of other folks.
What's normal and like normal?
I mean, now kids are coming out so early, which is so dope. Like they're coming out at 6 years old. They're coming out before high school. I didn't come out until after college.
This is weird. Just no, just because I don't think of like 6 year olds as sexual beings.
You don't, but when a kid is like.
When a little boy, it may not be sexual.
When a little boy is like, that little girl is cute, nobody says anything.
Yeah.
But that little boy says that boy is cute, you start to question everything about that little boy. Mm-hmm. But people don't generally do the same when it's assumed that the little kid is straight. But when they're queer or they're trans, it's like, how do you know this stuff? But you don't ask a straight kid, how do you know you like that little girl, little boy? Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree with that, but I still, like, even when, like, a little boy has a crush on a girl, I'm just, like, it's just weird to me to, like, sexualize children. I'm, like, I'm gonna need you to be around puberty. Like, you don't have to have finished puberty, but, like, you know, do you have underarm hair? Like, that's when I start to feel more comfortable with kids talking about actual sexuality. I'm, like...
But I knew when I was in fifth grade.
I think that awareness I was queer. Is different. There are certain things you can look back on the same way that not being out about it, really coming to terms with yourself until your 20s, you can look back on. I was thinking about Whitley Gilbert, I think, was like a lot of people's first crushes, a lot of girls' first crushes in that lane. Yeah. But back then it was just like, oh, she's cool. Oh, I like her. Oh, I want to be like her. Didn't want to dress like that. Didn't want to act like that. So what am I talking about wanting to be like her? Nah, looking back.
Oh, yeah. So I'm the opposite because I'm straight, but I wanted to dress like her and be like her and talk like her.
But I did not want to dress
like her. But we both admired her for different reasons.
The fascinations I can look back on and be like, oh.
For me, it was Denise Huxtable.
Well, that's
like, the whole time I was like, I want to dress like Theo Huxtable. I want to look like Theo. But I knew in fifth grade, but I didn't come out until after my freshman year of college. And it was very deliberate because I knew I left Springfield, I came to New York, I finished my freshman year of college. I felt comfortable that I could provide for myself if my family abandoned me. Mm-hmm. And that was the only way I was comfortable coming out. But everybody's journey is different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think I've always been tapped into, like, service, community service, providing a service now as a barber. Like, I always joke with friends of mine that, like, I hate people, but everything I do is about being around and with people. And so I love what I do. And I want to give folks better than what I had. Because I was so scared to come out. There's a lot of times, like, I was a very boisterous kid. A lot of folks called me a tomboy, and I was, you know, I have two older brothers. I mimicked everything they did. I was very open, but I was also very to myself. I was always the popular kid who knew everybody, but didn't really have any close friends. Mm-hmm. So I knew everybody in school, but I walked to all my classes by myself. I was bullied throughout, up until I graduated from high school. I was bullied for either the way I dressed, the way I talked, the way I walked. People would call me gay before I even knew what that term meant. Yeah. When I was in middle school and elementary school, little kids, because I played football and I would beat the boys, would say I had a penis. Like, it was weird. Like, all that growing up, I want to provide a safer, more comfortable space for people. So if they are going through that, because they are, because that shit hasn't stopped, have a place that you feel comfortable in. Because the only place I felt comfortable in was in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I didn't tell my mom that I was bullied. I didn't tell my brothers. They didn't know until I came out and told them that I was gay. And I was in my 20s. I was 19, 20 years old. And so
for they never suspected anything?
Oh, they all say that they did.
It's your family.
You never said, yeah, it's only
my whole life. I mean, my auntie was like, yeah, we knew. We were just waiting for you. And I'm like,
waiting for you to know.
And I think a lot of that was more so about how I dressed. And really how I dressed, I'd be gay if I was wearing dresses.
Yeah.
I dress the way I do because I have two older brothers and I got their hand-me-downs and I wanted to be like my older brothers.
Yeah.
If I had older sisters who were very femme, or if I had older brothers, if my brothers were more femme than they are, I'd be dressing the way they are because I mimic them. My gender expression is separate from my gender identity.
So where can we find you, both in real life and on the internet?
In real life, to get a haircut, you can find me at Colleen's House of Beauty at 56 Willoughby Street in downtown Brooklyn. And on the interwebs, you can find me on Instagram at DezGotSkills, DezGotSkills. Or you can find me on Twitter at DezIsDope, DezIsDope. You can also find me on Facebook if you search DezIsDope.
Okay. So, yeah, and I'm going to put all that information in the show notes. So if you guys didn't catch that, but you still want to find her, we'll make sure it's there. So thanks again for joining me, Des. I learned so much about barbering. What's the adjective? Barbing?
Barbering.
And Nicki Minaj standing. I learned so much about barbering, about the LGBTQ community, how those two blend, like, and just so much in general. I really enjoyed talking to you. So thanks again for joining me.
No problem.
All right, take care. Bye. So that wraps this episode of Poised and Polished. As always, please visit poisedandpolished.com where you can find all the show notes, contact information, and a link to sign up for the newsletter. I'd like to give another shout out and thank you to Melissa for helping to put this interview together, for connecting me with Des Marshall, and, you know, for sticking around for the actual recording to assist with everything from taking photos and everything else that I needed. So thanks so much, Melissa. We appreciate you so much. Don't forget to tell a friend about this show. Go ahead and click the share button and send it to anyone you know via email, Twitter, text message, however you share podcasts. Let someone else know about it. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please take a moment and leave a 5-star review. Let others know how entertaining and informative you found this to be. That's it for now. Until next time, be safe and get your beauty rest. All right, bye.